It's such an honor to be here. So our reading tonight is from Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 5. If you want to get a Bible, or if you've got your Bible in a digital if you've got a digital Bible, you can flip to Matthew chapter 5. I'll be reading right towards the end of chapter 5. I'll be reading from verse 43. Have you found a page in the church Bible? Do shout when you do so that others can. 970. Thanks, Lila. 970. So it's verse 43 of chapter 5, Matthew. The version I'm using is the NIV. I'll go all the way up to verse 4 of chapter 6. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true. And we thank you that you and your word are inseparable. That the things you've said here are so relevant for us today as they were relevant for generations past. We thank you that your word will speak into our lives, and your word is speaking into our lives even tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have so far covered in this journey together, we've covered the S of Shalom, we've covered the H of Shalom, and today we are covering the A of Shalom. The third letter in Shalom. Shalom, peace, which has been really, really well spelt out in this group. We know Shalom is peace, and it's the peace of God. We cannot find that peace elsewhere. The Word of God is very, very clear when it talks about peace. It says the peace that only God can give, which means all other types of peace that we can ever find in this world are temporary. So when we talk about the next thing in peace, in this shalom, abundance, with particular emphasis on giving, I'd like to suggest, as the NHS is suggesting, that one of the things that helps us to have a good, well-rounded well-being is giving. I like to suggest that what they are saying is giving of your money, giving of your time, giving of your possessions, more like being a philanthropist, being like that kind of person that just gives and just gives. I like to suggest from the Word of God, there is way more than that. From the Word of God, it's not just giving of the money that we have, of the possessions, of the time, of the attention. It's way more than that. And it is such a privilege that we can actually do that among the people that we live with. And the Bible today will challenge us. It will challenge us in two major areas that I've been able to identify in this passage. And these areas are areas that I have been able to put across as natural love. Natural love being the first area comes across like this. It says that I can love those that love me. That's what natural says. Natural says, if you love me, I'll love you back. If you don't love me, I don't care much about you. That's natural. That's very easy to do. Natural love loves your neighbor sometimes. You probably don't love your neighbor as much. You probably have some reservations. You probably have issues with your neighbor. So that verse that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. Jesus says, actually, no, don't hate your enemies. Love them. Jesus is teaching the very extreme opposite of what the world will teach us. The world will say to us that we can only do what we can only do. But Jesus says we need to dig a lot deeper. Jesus says the treasure is not on the surface. Jesus challenges us and he says, look deeper. Jesus says the treasure is not just in your pocket, in your wallet. He says it's deeper. It's in your heart. The treasure is in your heart, and that's what you need to be giving up. Now, tonight, I want us to realize that the thing that we want to give out is love. One of the songs we sang there, two in a row, the first two. And Dan, we didn't lay eyes about these songs. But I must say just how imperative the message that came across was, so relevant about how God has loved us abundantly. How God has just lavished his love upon us. He's just thrown it all over us. We are like surrounded by his love. And because we have been given so much, I cannot even begin to think of how giving would exist without love. I cannot even begin to think how love would even exist if it doesn't give. So love, they say love is a verb. Do you agree with me that giving is a verb? Because it is, always has been. Now, naturally, when you love, you can't but start giving. And this is just naturally. This is just what you do without being a Christian, without knowing anything about God. You just love. And what you love, you give into. The Bible has another way of saying what I've just said. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart follows your treasure. Or your treasure follows your heart. The way you invest depends where your heart is. Where is your heart? That'd be my first question this evening. Where is your heart? So naturally, enemies are very impossible to love. In fact, why would you love your enemy? Why would you dare love your enemy? It's your enemy.
Why would you even think that your enemy is worth loving? The things you do or say about your enemies are to destroy the enemy. Do you agree with me? Your enemy needs to be destroyed. That's what they're there for. They exist only to be put down. Now, maybe some of you don't know that, but the devil in the Bible is portrayed as our enemy because he is. And we exist to be put down by the devil. He wants to destroy us. The word of God says he is a thief. He is like a thief that comes only to steal and to destroy. His whole aim, the enemy wants to destroy. The enemy wants to destroy you. So do you see what enemies are for? Enemies are to be destroyed. So naturally, in the world, when you have enemies, they expect you to retaliate in anger. They expect you to be negative. But Jesus says, and Jesus teaches here, he says, love your enemies. Love your neighbors. And like I said, loving is a verb. It's an active word. It's a doing word. Now, you can't just love and keep quiet. You can't just say it. Love is active. Love stands up and does something about it. Love your enemies. How do you begin to even portray how that is going to look like? How do you even begin to extend a hand of forgiveness, a hand of love to your enemy, to the person that you thought they maybe wanted to destroy you? I personally can't think of any people that I could say they are my enemies. But I can think of people that have wronged me. I can think of people that have wanted to push me down. I work as an electrician, like I said. And one of the troubles I've had was in the past, I've had people that have asked for work to be done. And I've gone in and I've done the work. I've probably said rewire. And I've come home and I've sent them an invoice. And they've said, I'm not paying that invoice. I'm only paying whatever I've paid already. I've learned over a period of time to actually know. And I've asked, and my wife has prayed and said, is this the right project to take? And we've said, well, maybe yes, maybe no. And I do say yes most of the times I take projects. But what I've found is when God is present in everything that I do, he fights for me. So those people that were aiming to bring me down, they normally have to look for me and want to pay me. And they want to pay me more than I want to write an invoice for them. They are the ones before I'm finished that say, oh, send me that invoice. Please send me the invoice. Because I have someone who fights for me. I've learned to actually not have to beg people when I'm finished doing work for them. I go and say, I need to be earning because I've already invested. I've worked, I need to be paid. Does that remind you, those of you who are here in the morning? I've worked and I need to be paid. When you've worked, naturally, you have to be paid. When you are owed, naturally, you have to be given what you are owed. And it somehow runs concurrently, this loving, giving, and forgiveness. They work like that. Because your enemies need forgiving. Your enemies need, you need to release them. You need to release people. Unforgiveness, Pastor David said this morning, without repeating many of his words, he said, quoting somebody else, that unforgiveness is like taking a drink of poison and hoping that it kills the other person. But you keep drinking it and hoping that it kills your enemy. But you keep drinking it. You keep drinking it. Every time you're not forgiving, it's like you are drinking that poison. It's the same as hate. It's not difference. It's the same as hate. Now, I don't know what sort of hate you might have towards other people. I don't know what exactly, what area you need to be loving more. But Jesus goes on here. And he says, when we do this, in verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That there, sons would also apply to daughters who are here. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. Love is something you learn. You're not born with it. You learn to love. When your parents hate, you learn to hate. Our parent, our Father in heaven, excuse me. Oh, I like the sound of that going down. Our Father in heaven loves, is good at it. The word of God says in John 3:16, you know that verse? He so loved the world that he gave his only son. He so loved that he gave. Now, our Father in heaven, he's a loving Father. And we will do well to copy him as his children. We will do well to become like our Father in heaven. We will do well to love and to give. We will do well to follow those steps. I wanted to challenge those of us here who have been Christians for a while. This is one of the things that we need to do more. Looking after the little pieces of life, of our holy living. And these are the little pieces that put the whole thing together. Loving. Giving. They are inseparable. Forgiving. Without it, our freedom is limited. Without loving, our freedom, there is no freedom if you don't love, therefore you hate. And you're not free. So freedom can only be found in the next type of love, the supernatural love. This is where proper well-being springs out of. Supernatural love is the one that says, I'm going to love you no matter what you've done. No matter how you've judged me, but I'm just going to love you. Now, Jesus, as he jumps into chapter 6, do you know he actually says, when you give, when you do something good, don't go on top of a roof and start announcing. In our present world, we've got social media. And so when you give, you actually go out there and just say, I just given. You get a sticker that says, I just given. I gave. I'm the giver. Good to give. Jesus says, play it on the lowdown. Keep it secret. Giving is between you and God. Giving is between you and God. And when you do so, people begin to see something, because whatever you do in secret somehow will come multiplied out in public. So all your secret things, all the things you do, God is going to bless you in the public. God will take care of you in the public eye. So whenever you invest in prayer in secret, it can only be seen how your public life begins to unravel. Because you've been praying, because you've been reading God's word, because you've been studying God's word in private, in your own time. That quiet time, that time you spend concentrating on God, focusing on God, that time you do alone, that discipline, that little time you spend, that 5 minutes you invest will begin to show, will begin to unravel. It will just slowly come out. And people will begin to wonder as they see the good that comes, because you are becoming like the Father. You have this supernatural love. You love people that cannot be loved. People that are difficult to love. That student who struggles, that student who seems to be so lonely and alone. You love them. That person, that neighbor that has never known a visitor, that old lady that has never known anyone to say hello to, you've waited for her. Say, hello, I know you're coming from shopping. I thought I'd help you with your groceries. I want nothing. Just wanted to help you. So I was saying that earlier. I say that love is learned. The Holy Spirit is very keen on teaching us how to love, how to be people that are exemplary in our loving. Just loving. Just giving it out. The Holy Spirit is keen on doing that. Now, Holy Spirit doesn't go about just sticking around in your life without you wanting him. The Holy Spirit is said to be, in many ways, a gentleman. They say. Say he doesn't force himself upon people. No. And when he speaks, he doesn't force his way. But if we can listen to the word of God, we will hear God saying loud and clear about this love, your neighbor, your enemy. And then we would hear among Jesus' audience, we would hear some voice saying, but Lord, who is my neighbor? Do you remember that one? And then he starts telling them about the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is saying, everyone is our neighbor. Just in case you were thinking when I was talking about neighbors, that was just your next door neighbor. Now, everyone, literally everyone is your neighbor. Everyone. Every single person here and outside here, at school and outside school, at home and way out. All those people are your neighbors. So there is bigger work to be done. And that bigger work cannot be done by you and me without the help of the Holy Spirit. The supernatural love is not going to occur by itself. It's not going to suddenly, you get up one morning and you've got this supernatural love. I want to go around and just love everybody and give everybody a hug. It's not going to happen like that. Matter of fact, if you went around just giving everybody a hug, you may get hurt. There are some people out there that don't like hugs. There are people out there that would find hugging very offensive. And also, you don't go about kissing everybody. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. You may have so much love, but there's a way. And we are all created to be very unique. And there's a way we express the supernatural love of God. Even though the same Holy Spirit will work in each of us, but because we are so individual, we're so personalized, each one of us are unique unique ID. Each one of us are so different. So the way we are going to express love is going to be different. Some people are going to be huggers. Some people, well, I'm not going to say some are going to be kissers, but some people shake their hands better than others. You know, some people just know how to shake hands and make you feel welcome and make you feel loved. Some people look in your eyes and you just feel like, wow, I feel the warmth of love. I feel the love of God in this place. And it's not just the people, it's what is in them. Now, if you haven't been following all along, what I've been trying to say all along is that everything begins in the heart. Now, Jesus has to invest in our hearts. He has to put something in our hearts, inside there. And only from there can we begin to love and love truly. You won't believe it. I've just gone through the first page. I've got four of them. The second one actually is quite quick. Love is, and this is the true love. True love is sacrificial. True love gives up of itself. True love says, I don't care about me right now. I put me on hold. I'll pose me. I'll put me on a pose. I'll come back to it. I'll come back to me later. Because this is important. True love says, I'm gonna give you my lunch. True love says, look, I've got a pencil. I'll break it in two. You can have half and I'll have the other half. True love thinks about other people. True love doesn't always think of itself. This is in the Bible. This is in Corinthians. It says, love is not self-seeking. It's the very opposite of what you will find in the world. The very nature of love demands sacrifice at all costs. And when you look at other people, you look at them and begin to see their need. Not that you can always provide for other people's needs, because true love will also pray for other people where you cannot be there to provide or to love. You will pray for them. When you pray for other people, it's because you love. And because you love, you can pray earnestly. Giving. True love gives. What does it give? True love gives kindness. It gives birth to kindness. True love just gives birth to goodness. True love is born of God. It cannot exist without God. The love that Jesus is talking about cannot exist without his help in our lives. He says here in 6:1, it says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. He's not saying don't do any acts of righteousness. Acts of righteousness like loving people, like giving. He's not saying don't do those things. But he's saying when you do them, your very reason for doing them is not to be seen by people. Shouldn't be to be seen by people. I find that when you do something in order to gain approval or to seek people's attention, it tends to be a little dangerous. And this happens a lot in social media when people do stuff to attract attention. You end up attracting wrong attention. But when we give, our attention is not for people. When we pray, now, I realize I just kept saying when we give and when we pray, because somehow Jesus also uses the same terminology. Like he expects us, like it's obvious we will give. When? He doesn't say if you give. When you love, he doesn't say if you love. And it's just natural. It's expected of us to do that. And when you do that, you do it for the glory of God. You don't need recognition from other people. You don't need someone to actually say, yes, I couldn't wait. Well done. It's good to get that sort of thing, but we don't do it for that. We should not do it for that. We should do it because it is God we want to please. I wanted to say the other thing that we don't give in order so that we can find God's love. But we are loved, first of all, and hence we give. So our giving is based on just how much we've been loved. Our forgiving of others is based on how we have experienced forgiveness ourselves. So when we experience forgiveness, we're able to forgive. When we experience giving, we are able to give and do so without withholding. You remember the widow that came forward and gave, shall we say it was a penny? And Jesus said, and just looked around because there's these guys that were coming in, bringing their bags of gold. And some would probably bring it in a trailer, like five trailers bringing in to give. Come on, boys. Oh, you see all that? That's mine. That's mine. Bring it in. Bring it in. Is there space over there? Create some more space, please. Mr. Mkandawiri is giving, you know. And then they kept giving. And this widow just came with a penny and gave and walked away. Didn't try to announce it, didn't come forward with a big bang, with a big music going on, with a big announcement. She just brought her offering forward, and Jesus said, this is it. So it's God's approval that we are after, but we don't seek God's love by our giving. We show his love. We show our love for him. Our love for him. And that's why we give. So it becomes natural because the Holy Spirit is in us. Yesterday I watched a movie and I wasn't really looking for this. This movie is called Same Kind of Different as Me. And right at the end of this movie, I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but it's really worth checking out. Nice and clean movie. It says, right at the end, when this guy is giving it's based on a true story, but this guy called Denver Moore, when he's saying something, he said something that really resonated with the message of Jesus Christ. He said, we must understand the only thing that we keep forever. Now, this may not come across very grammatically correct, but I'm going to read it as it came out. I'll start again. We must understand the only thing that we keep forever is the things that we give away. And he said, the more you give, the more you get. The only things that we are able to keep forever is what we are able to give away. I don't know whether you are giving enough love where you are. I don't know if you need to think or rethink about the way you are loving. Do you need to change a few things in the way you love? Do you need to be more radical? Do you need to love more? I certainly do. I need to love more. I need to love more. And I'm one of those people that, you know, like when they say, this person, oh, when they love you. I like to be one of those people that just love and love you. But the world we live in is very good at telling us that we are not worth it. None of us are worth it without Jesus Christ. So I don't stand here in front of you pretending to be better at loving. I don't want it to come across like that. But I stand here in front of you because I am convinced that we can change the world we live in the name of Jesus, by the way we love, by the way we demonstrate love. We can change our city by the way we demonstrate love. We can redefine love. Now, we may never be in the history books of Brighton, but people will know that in that year, in that century, well, maybe in that decade, I would say, I mean, you know, there was a group of Christians that just did something that was unusual. They loved. And that would please the heart of God. That we just loved and loved.